Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus told the disciples that as the good shepherd, he would protect his sheep. But even more, he would give his life for his sheep. This gives believers the security of knowing that no matter what, they're in the safe keeping of the Savior. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the inheritance of the redeemed. We're learning about the gift of security. Turn with us to John chapter 10 for more on the Good Shepherd.
And there are various kinds of sheep I've been learning as I studied for this message. There are sheep, for example, that are cast down sheep. You can see this very clearly. There are many pictures of it. A cast down sheep is a sheep that's on its back because the center of gravity is such that when it tried to get up, it discovered it couldn't. And now it's on its back and it can't get up alone, can't be righted alone. All that you have is, sheep with its legs in the air, pawing the air, but getting nowhere. You see, David was a shepherd. And that's why in the Old Testament he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" That's the imagery. You sometimes feel like that. I'm sure that I have felt like that, where we are just cast down. Nothing that we do materializes. We are going nowhere, and we feel helpless. And we can't get ourselves righted apart from the shepherd coming along and setting us upright. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope in God," said David. And then there are just foolish sheep. They go from one clump of grass to another, and pretty soon they're far from the herd, and the shepherd has to bring them back. And then there are rebellious sheep. They're the ones, that get all tangled up in the briar patches, and they are just insistent, and the shepherd has a rod, which was really like a club that he used, which was an extension of his arm, an extension of his power, and he will use that to get the sheep back on track. Sometimes he may throw it, sometimes he may throw it ahead of the sheep to warn it as to where it's going, or he may use it more directly. His rod brings him back. And that's why David said so beautifully in Psalm 23, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The staff was used to perhaps pick up a little lamb that had wandered away and was stuck in the bushes. You see, God not only leads us, he restores us. David says he restores my soul because we as sheep have wandered away, and the good shepherd has to keep us in line. And he does it through discipline, through situations, through trials, and in many other ways. What he wants to do is to make sure that we stay in line with him. He restores us, and he rejoices when we come back. Many years ago in the 1800s, a man by the name of Henry William Baker, wrote these words, "The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever." And isn't this your testimony and mine? "Perverse and foolish off I strayed, yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. In death's dark vale I fear no ill, with thee, dear Lord, beside me. Thy rod and staff my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me." The good shepherd calls his sheep. The good shepherd leads and guides his sheep. The good shepherd dies for his sheep. There in verse 10, where Jesus made this amazing statement, he said that "I am the door. If anyone enters," verse 10, "the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly." You and I know that there's a ministry here in Chicago named By the Hand Club for Kids. And what a transforming ministry it is. And that's really their verse. To be able to give children who are under-resourced and in need, to be able to give them life abundantly, all because of Jesus. But then he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus here makes a contrast between the shepherd who owns the sheep. That word own occurs a couple of times in this passage. The shepherd who owns the sheep, and therefore, in his mind, he thinks of the sheep first and himself second. Shepherds oftentimes did lay down their life for the sheep. You know, they'd be fighting off wolves or fighting off marauders, and they'd lay down their life. In fact, in the Old Testament, if you lost a sheep, you'd have to prove that it wasn't your fault. And that's why it says, you know, bring a piece of the animal and so forth. And Jesus here is contrasting himself with a hired hand who thinks of himself first. He is in it for the money. And that's all he cares about. And I don't need to tell you, do I, that today on the airwaves there are all kinds of false shepherds. My heart breaks when I think of the amount of money genuine Christians sometimes send to ministries that are clearly fraudulent and run by false prophets and false shepherds. I've sometimes said that sometimes I think God's sheep can't tell the difference between grass and astroturf. How do you tell whether or not he's a false prophet? He's the one who says, send me money. The anointing is on me. And the Lord just showed me today that no matter how much you send, within a month you're going to get seven times the amount in return. False shepherds abound. And Jesus says here, he's the good shepherd. I think I told you years ago about being in Dallas, Texas, when I was a student there, and we attended this huge tent rally, 7,000 people. And the false prophet was up there making a huge profit. As a matter of fact, he was actually, as I recall, we had several offerings. People were putting their wristbands and their wristwatches into the offering basket. And I remember he said, I'm really fleecing God's sheep today. And the people still gave. Well, you can fleece sheep many times, but you can skin them only once. And once you do that, people finally learn. So Jesus says that there are false shepherds who overpromise, who draw attention to themselves, who do not properly distinguish between the false and the true, and they are hirelings. They are hired hands who will never protect the sheep because they come first. But he's the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep, and you and I know that Jesus died for us. Imagine how he values us, that he would die for his sheep. We continue on. He calls them, he leads them, he dies for them, he keeps his sheep. Sometime later, Jesus was having a discussion, you can see it there, in the beginning of verse 22 at the Feast of Dedication. And people came to him, and the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. This is very interesting. Jesus is saying that the problem, the reason you can't hear, is because you don't belong to me. And yet at the same time, we know that to belong to him, there has to be a hearing. But it's a hearing created by God in the human heart. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, that is, life without limit. It is a surplus of life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, one in essence. Notice what Jesus is saying. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. I give to them eternal life. That means life forever without any sin ever coming in between. Don't you look forward to that? When we can be with a good shepherd and there's no sin that mars our fellowship. Life begins now. Eternal life begins now. But after death and after the end of time, that's when we really experience it. In its fullness, Jesus says, I give to them eternal life, and they will never perish. Notice, I love this, two sets of hands. They will never perish. No one will pluck them out of my hand. Oh, you say, but free will, I could pluck myself out of his hand. It's a little more difficult even than that, and that is... According to the Apostle Paul, we are his hand. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So Jesus said, no one will pluck them out of my hand, and my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one will pluck them out of the Father's hand. So you have the hand of the Father and you have the hand of the Son, hands in harmony, and that's where the sheep are, secure, belonging to him forever. And he will see to it that they arrive home.
You know, oftentimes there are those who object to a message like this on the grounds that if you tell people that they are secure forever, they are going to go out and they are going to sin. Because after all, their eternal destiny is secure. Well, if you're thinking that, it may well be because you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Oh, it's true that grace has sometimes been misused, but the fact is that when we trust Christ and we begin to realize our inheritance, and he grants us the gift of the Holy Spirit and changes our affections, we love God. We desire to please him. So the gift of security is that which causes us to rejoice, but it should not cause us to go into sin. Rather, it should cause us to worship better and to realize that God's love for us is beyond description. It's part of a series that I've preached entitled The Inheritance of the Redeemed. Listen carefully, and you can find out how it can be yours.
Believers may doubt their salvation in times of depression or persecution, but Jesus made it clear that no one can ever take us out of his hand, not even we ourselves. Now that's security. Next time on Running to Win, more on this assurance. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.